Cranston Band with Help Your Brother. I had the opportunity and privilege to talk with founding member of Lamont Cranston Band, Pat Hayes. Let's get back to our interview.
You're basically a triple threat musician, you know, guitar, harmonica, vocals, and a songwriter in as well. Who are some of your blues influences, would you say, Pat Stone?
I think when I figured out what the blues was, then it was Little Walter, of course, and Sonny Boy Williamson, and Howlin' the Wolf and Muddy and all them. But I, you know, when it comes to harp, it was Little Walter, Butterfield, and Sonny Boy Williamson, and Junior Wells is a little bit less, and Cotton, of course. But when it came to guitar, it was Albert King, B.B. King, and, you know, it was mostly Albert King.
So let's, speaking of guitars and harmonicas, what are you currently using for those instruments, and like your mic for your harmonica, or what are you using? I mean, I know like Junior Wells would never use a harmonica mic because he just didn't like the sound of it, but what do you use?
Well, I use one like the old Butterfield. The one I prefer is like the old, like Paul Butterfield had. It's a 545, I think, when a, on a grip, it comes with a stand built into the mic, a stand hold, you know, this little, they call it a pistol grip.
Okay, yeah.
That's what I prefer, but those are hard to find, and when, then when I find them, like, yeah, they don't last forever. So a 545, the kind of, you know, it's kind of like a 57 with a switch on it, but it's a little more funky. I don't use the bullets.
Okay.
I use them. See, I think when you're in a band like me, it's loud, and you need to cut through. If it's too distorted, it doesn't cut through enough.
Okay.
In a big, loud band. I stick more to the Shure mics, you know, the, like a 57 would work fine for me.
Okay. It's,
and I look at the amp to get the distortion. I crank the amp up to get the distortion.
Okay. What amp do you use for your harp?
Well, right now I got two. I got small amp. Is they say is the one that the model Little Walter used a lot. It's a Gibson. It's a Maestro.
Oh,
Gibson,
nice.
Gibson with four eighths in it. I found it at that pawn shop in Brainerd, the music pawn shop in Brainerd.
Wow.
And it didn't have any covering. It had a chain for a handle, and it didn't work. But I got it working, and I recovered it. That thing is awesome. It's got 4/8. It's only like 18 watts of power.
Yeah.
But then I got another one that's an old National, a bigger size National. With
nice.
A 12, well, you know, it came with a 15-inch speaker. I switched that over to a 12.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I brought it into the shop, and I beefed it up. I, like, tripled the power in it. That's why I call it the Hemi. It's got a Hemi.
The Hemi amp. That's great. All right.
That thing is really cool. That thing is cool.
Oh, that's.
But I would use, you know, I could use a Fender Blues DeVille. If I had a basement, I'd be happy camper too, I suppose.
Okay. All right. How about guitar? What are you using for guitar right now, presently?
I use that Tele Thin Line.
Oh, yeah.
That hollow body, the hollow body Tele Thin Line.
Okay.
And it's really light. You know, I had this guitar that was pink. You know, a lot of people might have seen my old pink Strat.
Okay.
I got it at the old music store, New Coupe. That guitar was, they made it for Rick Nielsen.
Oh, wow.
From Cheap Trick,
yeah.
And he thought it was a freebie. But when he found out they wanted him to pay for it, he didn't want it.
Oh, wow.
But so they put it up for sale. It's one of the first guitars they had for sale in their store. I walked in, I saw the pink Strat, and I was, at that time I was kind of into rockabilly, and I thought, oh, that's rockabilly.
Mm-hmm.
I grabbed it and it played like butter, and I just went, I've got to get this. $700 in the late 70s, that was a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that was the best guitar at that point. And I had that for a long time. I still have it, but I painted it white because I started getting a lot of heat about it playing a pink guitar. So I painted it white.
Okay.
But while I was drying, I switched over to this Tele. That's really light, because that pink Strat was solid maple. That thing was real heavy.
Okay. Wow.
And I just, when I got it painted, I just never went back to it again. I stuck with that Tele.
Okay.
But now I painted it pink again because I found a picture online of Rick Nielsen holding it.
Wow. That's
so
funny.
I had to. So now I have provenance. You know, I say, well, there it is. Rick Nielsen's holding it, and in case I wanted to sell it, I might have provenance there.
There you go. There you go.
For guitar, I use the same ones I use for the harp, but I run a preamp with a little Roland, one of them tiny little mini Roland cubes.
Oh yeah. Okay. Great.
I just preamp that through into the Hemi one usually because it's louder. If I'm in a small club, I use that. I use that. That Maestro for guitar too.
Wow. Now let's talk about some of the tunes I'm playing today. Is called the album Lamont Cranston, a band with Bruce McCabe. How did you ever get involved with Bruce McCabe? He's a great pianist.
Well,
pianist.
Bruce moved up here from Clinton, Iowa. It turns out he was living by us out on Medicine Lake in these cabins. He didn't even know us then. we were looking for, well, it was basically Kim Wilson's band of Aces, Straights, and Shuffles.
Okay.
Now, Kim Wilson lived here for a while.
Oh, wow.
And he had an ad in the paper for a keyboard guy. And Bruce answered that ad.
Wow.
And he got hired with Kim Wilson's band, Aces, Straights, and Shuffles.
Okay. Okay. Wow.
So we, of course, were really good. Wilson lived at my house for a while when he first came to town. And then he lived with my brother, Larry. They had a house together. Of course, we knew them, and we hung out. We did a lot of shows together, and we were really good friends and everything. And Kim moved down to Texas. You know, he met the Vaughn brothers, and he moved down to Texas.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Bruce didn't want to move. He asked Bruce to go, and he asked my brother, Larry, to go, but they wanted to stay here. We borrowed Bruce for our first album.
Okay.
And our first album came out, and it was doing pretty good. So when Wilson split, Bruce figured he would just go with us because we had an album out that was doing pretty good.
Am I right in saying that another person that you kind of basically got started into the big league, so to speak, is Johnny Lang?
That we helped him?
Yeah.
Well, a little bit. He popped up on, you know, on TV once.
Uh-huh.
We played with a band called Bad Medicine.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, that was, yeah, we did a show with them up in Grand, it was up in Fargo.
That was the Larson brothers, right? Ted Larson?
Yeah, they opened the show. Yeah, it was Teddy and Mike. And
yeah.
They opened the show for us, but that's when he was doing his Stevie Ray thing. You know, he was trying to be Stevie Ray.
Yeah.
I pulled Teddy aside. I said, you know, you shouldn't do that. I said, you should try to learn, you know, Albert King, B.B. King, Muddy Waters, T-Bone Walker, and, you know, do what Stevie Ray did, you know, learn from the blues guys.
Good advice.
So, anyway, we met him, we hung out with them, and we had a good time. They opened the show for us at this outdoor concert down by the river.
Okay.
And then they had a gig in the bar that night, and I went into the bar and played with them all night long in the bar.
Okay.
And they were really happy about that and everything, and so a little while later, we were watching TV, and here they are on TV with Johnny Lang, the most fantastic guitar player, this kid, is playing in down at the Archie's Bunker, you know, and we were watching TV, and hey, that's that kid, that's that band, Bad Medicine. But they had cut their hair and worn suits and everything, and we were doing a show one time at Giggles, outdoor show in the tent behind this bar over in St. Paul, this huge thing, there's 3,000 people would come.
Mm.
And Johnny Lang showed up, that's when I met him. He said, nice to meet you. You know, he's 14, he looks like he just got off a skateboard. And he's got, my brother didn't show up, my brother was late for the gig, and I said, have you got your guitar? He said, yeah. Got your amp? Yeah. I said, you want to play? He said, yeah. So he set up his amp and guitar.
Wow.
And people are looking up there like, who's that kid, you know, laughing at him and stuff. Some people knew, and they said, don't laugh. When he started ripping, the crowd went nuts.
Okay.
But he just started ripping, and the crowd went nuts. And when my brother showed up about 15 minutes late, I said, hey, we got to keep the kid up the whole set. Or the whole...
I gotta get you back somehow. Big money, you almost crossed my trail. Big money, but I just ain't for sale. I got to know when are you coming back again. Big money, ain't no exaggeration. My liberation. Big money, I had you in my hand one time. Big money, now you're gone.
Back to young people like Johnny Lang, you know, on the music business today, I mean, it's different than when you started by all means. And what advice would you have for young aspiring musicians out there for them as far as regarding working in the music business today?
Well, you got to love what you're doing. It's not something that you do for money or for fame or, you know, all that. You know, you got to love what you're doing. You got to like people. You got to love people.
Mm.
You got to love entertaining those people, because that's what you're going to be doing.
Right.
You got to learn to play your instrument. That's of what's lacking in a lot of popular music now, is they're not really playing an instrument.
Oh.
I think there's a reaction against that. That's why the Americana and the funky down-home stuff is popular, because it's a reaction against all this heavy production that you see.
Okay.
Like when you see Beyonce on TV, and there's, or, you know, somebody like Beyonce on TV. I'm not putting them down. I'm not saying it's wrong or anything, but I'm just saying that when you listen to their records, I mean, you hear on the top 40, it's a lot of times it's not really anybody really playing an instrument. It's more like a computer putting together this thing.
Right.
And you know, you got to learn to play with soul, and you got to feel it. You got to like people, because you're going to run into people all the time, and if you can't get along with them, you're not going to go too far, even if you're a really good musician.
Okay.
Plus, it's not a good idea to monkey with liquor or drugs too much. That's not good.
All right. Good advice. So, Yeah, and I can tell, I mean, you love what you do. That's great. Love what you do. It's not about the money. I mean, money's nice. I mean, that's, you know, but you got to love it. I love, and you are a living example of that because you love what you do. I've heard you talk about you love to perform, and a lot of times, you know, your sets will be music that's basically kind of rolling so people can get into it and that type of thing. You got to pay attention to the people, right? I mean,
what? Yeah. You know, that's why I don't like to have a real set song list. Because the different crowds are going to do different things, and they're going to want different things. So I will usually start with the same couple songs or three songs, but then I'll change it depending on what the crowd wants. So I don't like to have a song list. I like to just kind of go with the flow.
Okay.
And then sometimes I don't feel like doing that same thing. I might feel like doing something different.
Oh, good.
And I wanted to have the freedom to do that.
Ah, very good. Yeah, that's good advice too. So what's up the road here for the Lamont Cranston Band? You got any new personnel coming in? New album coming up the road? What's going on?
Well, I just got new bass and drummer. And I'm adding Johnny O on guitar sometimes. These guys had a band called the Flay of Soul or the Soulmates. The Soulmates have come with Hubert, or with Wilbur Cole too. But I'm not playing as many shows as I used to. I cut back from playing in the bars, and I'm playing more concerts. Yeah. And there's not enough money there to pay a player to live on.
Okay.
In my band. I don't pay them enough to live on. So if they have a job, you know, they either got to have a job or they got to have another band where they make money. So I figured I'd hire a small band to come in and play with me. Because when I'm not playing, they can go out and play on their own.
Okay, yeah, right.
Then I don't have to keep them. You know, otherwise I was forced into going into places I don't want to go. Like funky little bars, you know, just to make a few bucks.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then you wind up playing the gigs you don't want, and it gets, the whole thing gets to be a drag.
Yeah, right. Yep. I always tell my students, keep it fun. You know, I mean, it's a job.
Not fun. If you're out there working just to make a buck so somebody can pay their rent, that is not good because you're going to wind up in places you don't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And people can tell that. You get stale.
Okay.
People can tell when you're not having fun up there, and the whole image of the band just goes down the tubes.
Wow.
So you're better off to just play the fun ones. Okay. So that's what I do now. I just play the ones that are fun.
Excellent.
And
hey, Pat, thank you so much for taking this time. I really appreciate it, and I wish you the very best, and I'm glad that you're having fun. Not that you haven't in the past, but now it's becoming a place where you can just have more fun doing what you love to do.
Hop on down the line. Two old folks are sitting on a stump. Told the other folks, everybody, let's jump. That's the boogie woogie. Hop on that other line. Early in the evening before the sun go down, all the boogie folks in the swamp are hopping around. That's the boogie woogie. Hop on that other line. Boogie woogie woogie for a dance to do. Give somebody out there to do what you can. That's the boogie woogie. Hop on that other line. In the morning by the break of day, do the boogie woogie ever send away. That's the boogie woogie woogie. Hop on down the line. Do the boogie woogie fast and slow. Keep on doing it everywhere I go. That's the boogie woogie woogie. Hop on down the line. boogie, 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 dance a lot. The boogie, boogie, I would do it all night. As the boogie, 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 hop on down the line. In the swamp, I'm hopping around. There's a boop, 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 boop. Hop on down the line. Two old folks say, what you gonna do? I'm gonna get somebody to do it with you. There's a boop, 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 boop. Hop on down the line. Boop, 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 dance and do. Get somebody out there to boogie with you. There's a boop, 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 boop. Hop on down the line. Boogie woogie, hop on down the line. There's a boogie woogie, hop on down the line.
That's Pat Hayes from Lamont Cranston Band. And by the way, they're going to be in Detroit Lakes on Friday, June 30th at Detroit Mountains event, Blues Beer and Barbecue. Tickets are available online for $10. Just look up Blues Beer and Barbecue event at Detroit Mountain, and you'll find your way to the tickets. Listening to Cruising the Blues with Mr. Jack. This is Mr. Jack, and until next time, I'll catch you later.